Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Thinking about what a key character in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings once said, Faramir said, "War must be while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend." And like Faramir, my great love in our struggle together for truth is not for the weapons and tools of our warfare, but what they defend. Our faith, biblical fidelity, ultimately our freedoms. And today, as not only biblical truth, but even the very notion of truth is under siege on so many fronts, we do well to heed the call to battle as if our very future depended on it, because indeed it does. To become part of a team helping to turn the tide, join the Bible Answer Man support team to speak out loudly for life and truth as both are under attack. Partner with me and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I'd love to send you, when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join online at equip.org, or you can join simply by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And if you want to join via the telephone, resource consultants are standing by right now, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is Felicia in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Felicia.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I've been listening to you off and on for a while now and consistently, maybe for a couple months. And I like the program, but I feel like it's not really beneficial for the sheep and the flock that are so, the famine of this time is for the word of God, and to cast your pearls before swine like Osteen and all that is, you know, time taken away from the sheep. Like Jesus said, the sheep are few, but the laborers are few. And you're a very learned and scholar man, I can tell just from listening to you. But sometimes when I listen to you, and answering some of the questions from simple lay people, your knowledge is almost like a stumbling block because it's not took into their level of understanding. And I myself at times find myself not even understanding the meaning of the words that you're saying because they're big words. And I just want to know if you can cite the words of Jesus and how simplistic that they were in your teaching, because I feel like you would reach more people. And with the ossification, the judging of that, and the condemnation of that, God is going to judge them and God is going to deal with them. We need to focus on feeding the sheep.
Well, first of all, Felicia, I really appreciate what you've said. What I do want to add to what you've said, however, is simply that the Apostle Paul oftentimes warned about false teachers. In fact, in one passage he says, "Even from among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. remember for 3 years, I never stopped. Now note those words, Felicia. Remember for 3 years, I never stopped warning you night and day with tears. And why did he really care about the false teachers? Well, because he cared about the flock. If the wolf is in the sheep pen, and you really care, and you have the wherewithal to do something about it, then you should. And so I think that Paul sets an example for us to follow, and he tells us to follow him as he followed Jesus Christ. And so I really appreciate, Felicia, your emphasis on the beauty and the simplicity of the words of Christ and your exhortation to me to seek to follow that as best I can. I think that's great counsel on your part. But why do I speak about ostenification? The reason I do is ostenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. So it's not a small matter. It's a macro issue. It's the commodification of the divine. In other words, it's making God into a commodity, as though you can buy and sell divinity. This is the very thing that happened when Luther nailed 95 theses on the castle door in Wittenberg. What was happening is priests were making merchandise out of God's people, and Luther was incensed by it. And I think to the extent that we see that happening today, we should be incensed as well, particularly when you have the reduction of Christianity to the crass specter of pagan consumerism. You have the transformation through reciting mantras as opposed to what the Bible says, and here's the biblical phrase, renewing your mind. We need to be transformed, as Romans 12 says, through the renewing of our minds. And the reason I mention Joel Osteen is simply because he's the biggest of the bunch. He's the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our own ends. And in a simple way of saying that, Felicia, these people are beckoning multitudes to the table of the master, not for the love of the master, but rather for what is on the table of the master. And so you have the glory of the cross transposed to the glory of consumerism. Maybe another way of talking about this is a fast food Christianity that ends up being long on looks, but dreadfully short on substance. So you have technique that triumphs over theology. You have style that triumphs over substance. You have psychobattle over precept and principle. And I think it is important in our day when this starts happening, where the Bible is being denigrated or simply used to communicate whatever you want to communicate, that we speak out and warn the sheep, as it were, about this.
Okay, I understand the seriousness and the ramifications of all of Osteen's teachings and stuff, but God's sheep hear his voice. And I just want you to also use your platform, and I wish I had a platform, to use your platform to feed the sheep, because they will come from him, because it's common sense. They don't have anybody else out there on such a platform to combat what he says. But everything that he says can be taken down with the word of God, because the word of God has something for everything that he says that is a lie, and it is the truth, because what he says is not going to come to pass. But what the Lord says will always come to pass, and that's how we'll know it's of God or it's of man.
Yes.
So that's why judgment's going to start at the pulpit, and I wait for that day. But in the meantime, I plant a seed, and I hope that, and the Lord don't need no help to grow it. I plant a seed, and these people will need to be prepared for what is to come, not as what is happening now, because there is an Antichrist. We're speaking of God. That Joel Osteen is a form of an Antichrist. But the real Antichrist is coming, and we're not being prepared. I am prepared, and I walk in the Spirit. And the more that I feed my spirit and beat this flesh down with the Word of God and the wisdom and knowledge that he gives me from reading his Word, I have no desire for the things of this world, because I know I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. And so when you start walking more in the Spirit and more in the Word of God, these things of the world will be distasteful to you, will be abominations to you, and you'll be sickened by it. And I just, if we get the Word of God out there and people pray for wisdom, because all wisdom comes from God, and knowledge and understanding, and let the Holy Spirit lead God and direct them.
Felicia, I appreciate your perspective. I'm going to have to tone you down only because we're coming up to a station break. I do appreciate your passion as well. But it simply is not true that only truth is going to prevail in the culture. If that were true, we wouldn't have to speak out against Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witnesses. On and on it goes. So, you know, again, as the Apostle Paul said, we ought to be passionate, as you are passionate, but passionate to help people discover the error and walk in the way of the truth. But again, appreciate your perspective and your passion. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults on sanity have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, you know nothing less than civilization is at stake when ideology trumps reality, or when psychology trumps biology. That's wokeism in a nutshell. The threat is not only critical, it's urgent, which is why Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. You won't want to miss the upcoming special issue of the Christian Research Journal that contains everything you need to know about the cult of wokeism and its impact on Western civilization. You'll read sobering articles with penetrating analysis of the social and mental disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of the special Woke Edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke Edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one, because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jonathan listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello. Thank you for your time.
You got it.
I'm a college student here in Raleigh, and I've been interacting with a lot of people in philosophy class, and I've heard that people think good and evil is defined by society. And I know that there are a lot of bad fruits of this, like saying Nazism is permissible. But what makes this argument bad? What at the root of this is wrong?
Yeah. Well, I like the question. How do you get to the root of all of this? Well, to get to the root of all of this, you have to get to the root of how different philosophical systems look at good and evil. Think about this. There are only three real answers that are given, so it makes it kind of easy to systematize. The first would be philosophical naturalism. That's the worldview undergirding evolutionism, and it supposes that everything is a function of natural processes. In other words, everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics, and therefore there is no such thing as good and evil, right? In fact, in this view, we're fatalistically determined on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics. The second is pantheism. Pantheism actually denies the existence of good and evil, and the reason is because in that view, God is all and all is God. So it only leaves you with one other plausible possibility that has some subcategories, and that is theism or Christian theism. That is the only relevant response, and the subcategory is the only satisfactory response, because Christian theism acknowledges that God created the potential for evil because God created humans with freedom of choice. So we choose to love or to hate, we choose to do good or to do evil, and we therefore, of our own free wills, have actualized the reality of evil through our own choices. So when you get down to what is good and what is bad, there are only three different systems of thought that at the base of the funnel come out, and those are those three that I just mentioned, philosophical naturalism, pantheism, and then Christian theism, and only Christian theism has a relevant answer. But if you leave the question of good and evil or right and wrong up to societies, then you're always on shifting sands, because as you've pointed out in the prologue to the question, societies in different epochs of time have different views on what is right or wrong. If you look at our present culture, what is right or wrong is not determined by some objective standard, but by the shifting sands of political correctness. And that can lead to all kinds of problems. If you look at what our society thought was right with respect to marriage 60 years ago and what we think is right respecting marriage today, that's a completely different proposition. So if you don't have a North Star by which to set your sail, as it were, then you're forever relegated to be shipwrecked by shooting stars.
That makes sense. I think that's great. Thank you for helping me out on that.
You got it. Appreciate your call, Jonathan.
Thank you.
God bless you. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jay in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Jay.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. I was having a discussion with a fellow church member the other day, and I was talking about some Mormon neighbors that I had, and I was hoping for an opportunity to kind of witness to them. And we just got into this discussion about, you know, kind of along the lines, well, if you have like a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, or a non, or like a, you know, someone strung up on drugs, or someone that didn't have religion, who would you witness to first? And, you know, my reply was like, well, they're all lost, so it doesn't matter. And they seem to, you know, think that because they're in Mormonism, they have a chance. And I told them that I agreed that people can be saved out of Mormonism, but they would not keep practicing in Mormonism. So that was my question. I was wondering what you thought about that. So.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're right. I think that when you become a participant of the kingdom, the entrance requirements are to recognize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Now, the attendant question is, who is Jesus Christ? Because it's not the words that we use, it's the meaning poured into the words. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a different view of Jesus Christ than the Mormons do. They have a different view than the Muslims do. So the real issue is, who do you say that I am? And so if you're genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ and a participant in the kingdom, you become more and more informed with respect to who he is. Is he a mere man? Is he Archangel Gabriel? Is he the spirit brother of Lucifer? You know, you can go through the various religious constructs, and they all have different responses with respect to Jesus Christ. But when you come to know who Jesus Christ is, then you come to know that he is not only the wisest man who ever lived, but he's God in human flesh, that he is the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, that he is the very one who knit us together in our mother's wombs. So I think what you have said is very correct. I mean, you can't stay in a system that denies the reality of who Jesus Christ is. In some sense, you can say that it's not the absence of truth that damns, but it is the despising of truth that damns. And to know Jesus Christ is to know who he is.
Yeah, and I said a lot of that. And it's just like, you know, the other person kind of said, you know, it seems like I'm kind of putting God into a box, and you know, they don't fully understand the Trinity, but they have no question about their salvation. And I'm just wondering,
but what are they being saved to? I mean, these are all attendant questions, and I think it takes unpacking the terms, Jay. I mean, if they say they're sure about their salvation, what are they being saved to? I mean, they have three different kinds of heavens to begin with. They have a telestial heaven, they have a terrestrial heaven, and then they have a celestial heaven. And only temple Mormons make it into the celestial heaven. So they have different kinds of heavens that they adhere to. Not only that, while we believe that we're going to stand before God dressed in the spotless robes of Christ's righteousness, they contend, this is their doctrine, that they're going to appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons and then holding good works in their hands. And according to the Latter-day Saints, virtually everyone qualifies for heaven, certainly for their lowest rung on the heavenly ladder. So you have to ask, what do they mean by Jesus Christ, and what do they mean by salvation? What do they mean by heaven, and what ultimately constitutes their authority? In Christianity, we say the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In Mormonism, they say the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to our religion. And not only are they mistaken with respect to the person and work of Jesus Christ, but they are mistaken with respect to the Father himself. When they look at the Father, they say that the Father was once a man, just as we are, men and women. The Father was a man, and he then became exalted to godhood. So what God now is, they say, we may become. And what we are, God once was. So these are not, again, trifling matters, secondary matters. These are matters that cut to the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. So, as I've said many times, Jay, on the broadcast, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. We're not talking about non-essential Christian matters. We're not talking about secondary matters. We're talking about the essentials of the Christian faith, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood.
So if you're talking about the primary issues there being in this conversation in particular, if someone believes that a Mormon can probably stay practicing Mormon and they call themselves a Christian, I mean, would that be kind of treading on that kind of ground, or...
Well, again, it's all a matter of terms, and I've said this on the broadcast many times. Words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal. And that turn of phrase hopefully rivets in people's minds. More importantly, the meaning. What do I mean when I say words are not univocal, they're equivocal? What I mean by that is they take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. Within the context of Mormonism, there's a different meaning to Jesus Christ. There's a different meaning to heaven. There's a different meaning to salvation. There's a different role for authority, and on it goes. So I think it's important that we define the language that we use. If you believe in the Jesus of New Thought metaphysics, you're not believing in the Jesus of the gospel. If you believe in the Jesus of Islam, you're not believing in the Jesus of the Bible and so forth. So it's really important to scale the language barrier. Unfortunately, we'd have to leave it at that, Jake. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.